here. And with everyone, and for many who aren't here but are watching online. I'm getting myself straight here. Am I good there, Jeremy? I'm in the right spot? Okay. It is good to see everyone. I'm going to have to do something with all of our masking up, you know. It's great to be here to see the expression on your face. And I get a lot of energy out of that. And right now, not so much. Some of you have some, you know, decorative kind of masks, but most of you, not so much either. So let's see if we can work on that. Get a little smiley face on your mask or something like that. It is good to be here. And good to be with those who are, we are with them even though they are not here. Don't you sense that? And yet we're longing for the time when we're all back here in the same place. We have begun a series last week. We began a series on the book of Micah called What Does the Lord Require? And this famous verse, Micah 6, verse 8, we're kind of marching toward that. We'll get there in a week or so. And yet we know how it ends because it's a pretty famous verse. He requires to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. And Betty has a t-shirt, you know, that has all of these things on it. And so one of these days we're going to have t-shirt day where we all have a t-shirt with just to remind us how to go. But, you know, it's more than a t-shirt, isn't it? Oh, Art has one too. So, you know, Betty and Art. So there's, hey, okay. We're already spreading the news. It's good. Thank you for just inspiring all of us in this way. One of the things we're doing today, we're going to look at some of the issues, the problems that Micah had in his day, and we still have in our day. And so we titled the sermon, The Truth Will Set You Free, False Prophets Don't. Or maybe it's False Prophets Won't. I didn't know about that, so Jeanette and I had a discussion there, and I think we went both ways. You know, sometimes we say false prophets won't, but you all get what I mean by right. You know, you kind of get it. The idea is the truth will set you free, and we're going to talk about that because sometimes prophets have a hard time telling the truth. Oh, wait a minute. Actually, human beings have a hard time sometimes telling the truth, but also a lot of times we have a hard time hearing the truth. So we're going to get into that in a minute. You know, the truth will set you free comes from a saying that Jesus made in John chapter 8. And one of the things, this saying, the truth will set you free, is very popular at universities where they etch in stone that saying, whether or not they understand that that came from Jesus or not. But he said, the truth will set you free. But there's some other sayings about the truth too. And one of them is this: sometimes the truth hurts, right? Have you heard that saying before? And it's also true. So the truth sets you free, but sometimes the truth hurts. And we're going to get into maybe how that could be true in our lives today. But thinking back to last week, we talked about me going on a bus ride in Oklahoma and coming back towards Abilene as a football coach and a bus of football players, and we were on the wrong road. And so finally, we figured out we were on the wrong road. And we talked last week, no matter how far you go on the wrong road, or how fast you go, how much time you spend on the road, you're never going to get to your destination if you're on the wrong road. And this is what a prophet comes to do. He comes to tell you that you need to do something different, because the way you're doing it now is not going to work. I remember, and I've used this example before, I think even here, when I was a kid, learning to play baseball, and I was batting cross-handed. You understand what I mean, cross-handed? Like you're supposed to have your backhand, your strong hand, on the top of your grip, and your weak hand, your offhand, on the bottom of the grip, okay? So you can just swing like this. But I did it backwards, and you know what? I hit a few. And I thought, I got something here. And my dad said, no, son, you need to change your grip. Well, it was uncomfortable because I'd already gotten comfortable doing it that way. It's uncomfortable. And he said, and I said, after all, I'm doing okay. He said, no, but you're never going to really be the hitter you could be by using the wrong grip. He came to tell me I was on the wrong road, and what I needed to do was get on the right road. And so the thing is about that is I'm human. I was then too. Even as a child, I was human. Think about that. And even then, I liked doing things my own way. Maybe you may be this way too. I like it doing it my way. So when someone comes and tells me that my way might not be the right way, I'm not eager to hear that. But another problem happens sometimes. And some of you may have had this experience too. Have you ever been wrongly diagnosed? Especially with something that has to do with your health. I've had two really serious encounters with this. One was with a friend of mine who had colon cancer, and this tumor was growing, and the tumor was getting bigger, but the doctor said it was indigestion. It was acid reflux. And so you have a tumor the size of a grapefruit growing in your body, but you're treating this with Tums. That ain't going to work. That's dangerous. My father-in-law, more seriously, died of prostate cancer. And for months, his doctor told him, well, he'd strained muscles in his back. Sometimes when you're misdiagnosed, that can be really dangerous. And so the correct diagnosis is important if you're going to get the correct treatment. And sometimes the correct treatment is the only thing that's going to save your life. Let's pray. God, today we want to hear a word from you. As we already have, God, your love never fails, and it never gives up, and it never runs out on me. So God, let us hear your word this morning. Let us hear the word of a good, good Father. You know what we need before we even say a word. So let your Holy Spirit reveal your truth and love today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about Micah, who was alive and preaching, prophesying, as they would say, in the 8th century. That means the last half of the 700 B.C., from 700 to 750 or so. Micah was in the town of Moreseth. He was out of country. He was a country boy, while Isaiah was in the big city of Jerusalem prophesying. They're pretty much saying very similar kinds of things to stubborn kings, some more stubborn than others. And the situation for Micah was that one of the problems was that the people of that day, and maybe this may sound strange, but if you were listening to a prophet, okay, a prophet's a person not just telling the future, but he's speaking for God. What you wanted is a prophet who said what you wanted to hear. And this is what was going on. They wanted to hear good news. They wanted to think that things are fine and everything's going to be just perfect. And if I say that as a prophet, you're going to pay me. But if I say bad news, like, you know, we have to social distance and we can only go to restaurants that are, you know, 25%, then I'm not going to pay you. As a matter of fact, if you don't pay me, I'm going to predict bad things. But if you pay me, I'll predict good things. Okay, this is the situation that Micah is in verse chapter 2. It says, don't tell us bad news, Micah. That's not what we want to hear. In verse 7 of chapter 2, it says, false prophets. Here's what the false prophets would say. God is patient. And you know, false prophecy is often laced with truth, but not totally true. So he said, God is patient, right? All of us nod, yes. And so his words are kind, yes. To people like us who do good And then Micah butts in and says, but God says, you're not doing good. You're not doing good. And this is Micah 2, verse 11. Calling the prophets deceitful liars. God called the prophets deceitful liars. He said, these kind of prophets, what they want, what this people want, is a prophet that would promise plenty of wine and beer. And I thought, okay, I can go with that prophet, maybe, you know. Wine and beer, pretty good. But this is what God said about these prophets. The people wanted the prophets to just say, everything's great. Micah was not going to be that kind of prophet. And so the prophets wanted this, and this is what it says in verse 5 of chapter 3. The prophets wanted the people wanted a prophet who would say, we're going to have peace. Everything is swell. I know Assyria is ravaging other countries, but not us. We're going to have peace. And the Bible says that if you preached peace, you would get fed. But if you didn't preach peace, if the people didn't pay the prophet, if the people didn't pay the prophet, then the prophet's going to say, you're going to get war. So it's all about getting paid. This is what the point was. But Micah comes and he says, I was a strong man of courage, verse 8 of chapter 3. And he says, this is what's going to happen. Zion, or Jerusalem, is going to be plowed like a field because of your behavior. The Assyrians are going to plow, they're going to knock everything down, they're going to put everything in chaos, and you're going to plow this city like a field. And then he says, the judges, they take bribes, and the priests, they will prophesy for a price, and the prophets make predictions for money. Have you ever been on the wrong road, listening to the wrong prophet? Well, the role of the prophet was to speak for God, the truth, whether it's good or bad. Now then, here's what happened, though. This is interesting, because this happens, like in all generations, 100 years later, in the time of Jeremiah was prophesying, and he was telling the truth, and this is basic, mostly in chapter 26, even though the chapters leading up to chapter 29 are all about false prophets and Jeremiah. But this is 100 years later, and Jeremiah is saying, bad news, bad things are happening because what you're doing is wrong, so bad things, you're going to have bad consequences for your bad behavior. And the people said, no, we're not, everything's going to be great. And some of the people wanted to kill Jeremiah. They said, we're going to kill you because of the way you're preaching. And so I'm saying, you know, if anybody does come over here from Park Road, tell them, you know, don't kill the preacher. Just because he might say something, you know, you don't like. I'll get back to that in a minute. Don't kill the preacher. But the prophet, the people wanted to kill Jeremiah. But some of the wiser, and it calls them elders, because every once in a while, Art, right? Us elders, we might know something. Okay, the elder said, hey, y'all remember Micah? Back in the day of Hezekiah, he prophesied the truth. And what did Hezekiah do? He listened and he changed his behavior. So the Assyrians didn't wipe out Jerusalem because Hezekiah listened. And he listened and changed his behavior. So let's don't kill Jeremiah. Let's wait and see. Maybe he's a real deal. Maybe he's the real thing. So here's a couple of lessons I want you to think about. When you hear from a messenger news you don't like. And sometimes you hear news you don't like from the messenger. Just like that report from the doctor. If the doctor says, we're going to have to examine you a little more because there's a tumor. Well, see what that is that's something that might save my life. That's not the news I wanted to hear, right? I didn't want to hear that news, but that's the news that might save my life. So when you do hear bad news from a prophet or a messenger of God. Number one, don't shoot the messenger. Okay? Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what I heard from God. Number two, listen to the message. Listen to the message. And then number three, change your heart and your behavior. So in this case, maybe you need to get back on the right road. You're on the wrong road. Let's get back on the right road. That's what might need to happen. Here's the thing, and this is true of us here in this room today. Many voices clamor for our attention. So you remember the good old days if you're a parent, and I'm just going to pick Jeremy and Jennifer today because they have a child who's here, masked up as she is. I still recognize that's Lainey. So you remember the good old days when Lainey, the voices that she heard were just yours? And she would do just what you thought was right because she hadn't been exposed to other things. And I remember this with my boys. All of a sudden, what I said was gold when they were 2 years old and 3 years old. But then what happened is, as they got just a little bit older, they started listening to their friends. And their friends' opinion mattered more than mine. And that was really irritating. I had already indoctrinated them, and they are hardcore, solid Yankee fans, so, you know, that was good. But on the other hand, you know, my boys, they didn't understand music in the 70s just beat the tar out of music in the 90s. They didn't get that. You know why? Because they had these other voices that were speaking junk to them. Like, 90s music could be good, but it isn't, you know? I was trying to tell them that. But really, seriously, friends and then teachers and then music, these are the voices we hear telling us what's good, telling us what's right, telling us what's important. We learn stuff at school and we think that's good and it's important, and maybe it is. And fashion speaks to us. It's a voice that's telling us what to wear, okay? How to talk. We're learning how to talk from our peers. All these voices, they're coming. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, remember that? Watch out for false prophets. Watch out. False prophets are going to tell you stuff. You know, movies. TikTok. Oh, see, I know what TikTok is. I don't really know what it is, but I kind of know enough to say TikTok, and that means something to some people in the room. The false prophets of that Micah's day and our day often want to say that the road is easy. This is what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, watch out for the false prophets. They're going to tell you to follow them down an easy road, down the wide path. But Jesus said the road was narrow. It's difficult. But it leads to life. So follow me. Follow me. Follow my voice. Because the false prophets are everywhere. The difficult road, you know, that's the road of loving your enemy. That's the road of forgiveness. That's the road of being generous, like Steve spoke of earlier this morning. That's the road of being obedient to God's instructions. It's a difficult road, but it's a good road. So God's messengers are still around today. God's bringing you messages in lots of different ways. And so as they're bringing the messages to you, I want to ask some questions here, kind of like we did last week. When God's messenger brings you a message, what kind of listener are you? What kind of listener are you? Some listeners are eager to hear a word from God. And I want to suggest that's what we all need to be, is eager to hear a word from God, recognizing this. God wants to tell you something. He's got something to say. And some, a lot of times it's in His Word. We'll get to that in just a second. But what I want to encourage you to do is to engage God in conversation in a regular way. I mean, ask Him questions. And here's the question I want to ask, and I've mentioned this before. This is my routine. This is my program. It's programmed into my head. It's Psalm 143, verse 8. And the Psalm says, show me the way I should go. I'm going to ask God at every day, as I come to different decision points in my day, I'm going to ask God, which way should I go? And a lot of times, he just straight up tells me. Sometimes, he's not as clear as other times. But often, he'll say, don't go that way. Have you ever heard God's message? Don't go that way. I've heard that. Sometimes, it comes out like this. Don't say what's in your head. It's not good. Okay? Or don't let that emotion of selfishness take over, man, because it does. And all of a sudden, God's telling me, you shouldn't be feeling that way towards your wife, because you should just be thankful that I gave her to you. And then I said, yes, Jesus, I am thankful for Mary Beth. You know, and so God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. Engage him in conversations. Ask him the direction, which way you should go, which path you should take. And then ask for this. Ask for the courage to begin to obey God. I need some courage sometimes to do the right thing. Sometimes I need to speak up. Sometimes it's not that I need to keep my mouth shut. I need to speak up. And I need God's message to say, speak up. And then ask him, here's a question I ask him, how should I spend my resources today? So I'm talking about these resources. The resource of time. I'm asking God, show me the way. How should I spend the resource of time that I have today? How should I say, well, obviously you guys made a priority choice this morning. You're all sitting right here. Some who are listening online, you've made a decision, and I'm pretty certain God has said to you, hey, you know what you should do this morning? Wear a mask. Okay? Listen to God. Engage him. How should you spend your time? Come to church and wear a mask when you come. So another thing, resource. How should you spend your money? Beautiful story, Steve, that you told this morning just about generosity. That we would develop generous hearts. God is saying do that. Some of us have talent. We all actually have talent. God says, I want you to use your talent and ask him, how do you want me to use my gifts, the gifts, God, you've given me? How do I do that? And then I want you to think about this. Maybe you should ask him to guard your heart and direct your heart. How do you spend your affection? I know there's been times in my life where I've gone down the wrong road of how I have given my affection to someone who I shouldn't have. And that led to a disastrous destination. God was saying, don't go there, over and over and over. How do you spend your passion? Man, I can get fired up about a lot of things. I remember the time when I was been working for ACU for 30 years, and they were honoring all the people who had been there for 25 years and for 20 years, and they had a speaker come up for everybody who had been there for 30 years, and only about three of us, so it wasn't long. And the guy who was speaking about me, a good friend of mine, he stood up and he talked for about 5 minutes, and four of the 5 minutes, he talked about that I was a Yankees fan. And I didn't mind being a Yankees fan. I am a Yankees fan. But I don't want that's the way people remember me. I spent 30 years at a place and that's all you got? Because my passion evidently had been focused on the Yankees. I'd much rather my passion had been focused on Jesus. Why not that? Because I had, you know why? Because I got all that junk on my wall about the Yankees. I started taking stuff home that very day. No lie. Because I don't want to be remembered for a guy who's passionate about the Yankees. So I want to hear God's voice, you know. God sent a messenger. And the message was not, it wasn't pleasant. Because God was telling me, you're on the wrong road, dude. Heaven is not Yankee Stadium. Even though Yankee Stadium's pretty cool. That ain't where you're headed. God's messenger sometimes is coming to tell you, you're on the wrong road. What are you going to do about it? And in some of those ways, you know, you may already be on the wrong road about how you spend your time, how you spend your energy, how you spend, what have you given your passion to? But you know what? Here's the good news. And this is what Micah's going to tell him too. God's not surprised at this. He's not surprised that you've gotten off on the wrong road. He has plans for you even in the middle of your taking the wrong road. Your, what I'm going to call them, rebellious mistakes. He has a plan for you to turn around and come home. And some of you may not be on the wrong road, like you just turned around and going straight the wrong direction. You just off just a little bit. And you just need a course correction. But you know what? If I'm going straight opposite of my destination, or if I'm just off a little bit, either way, I ain't getting there. As a matter of fact, the longer I take, I may be off by just a few degrees. If I'm going to walk straight to that back door and that's my destination and I'm actually headed just this way, I'm not going to get to that back door. Even if I head this way, I'm not either. So what I might need is a little course correction. But the point is, and Micah's make this point too, God's message is always for you to turn around and come home. He wants you to, the reason he sent the prophet is that he loves you so much. He wants you to have the full experience of being his child. He don't want you to have a, you know, just a, there's not the word I want to use, half speed experience of being his child. He wants you to have the full experience of being his child. So he sends a prophet and said, hey, you're off course. You're on the wrong road. You need to do something different. You need to listen better. And once you've heard, you need to put the things into practice. But this is never his message. He'll never say, you're not good enough. He'll say, you're on the wrong road. But you're his child. You've got his DNA. You were meant to look like him. When he looks at you, he said, hey, he looks just like his dad. Not acting like his dad. But you look like him. So he sends you the prophet to remind you that he wants a closer, look at me, and deeper relationship with you. This is why he sends the prophet. So the people didn't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts. But the people needed to hear the truth because the truth sets you free. This is us as well. So we're going to stand and sing. And then I'm going to have a closing thought that's going to be a reading from a scripture in the New Testament. So we're going to go ahead and sit back down after the song because I want to read this to you. Because this is, the message for today is going to lead you to more, I hope, listening to God. So this is a message that leads to a message. Are you with me there? So we're going to sing, and honestly, the song is so true too, as all the songs we've sung today, fitting with this idea that God loves you. He always has, he always will, and he sent and is sending messages through messengers, prophets, so that we can become who he has created us to be. Let's sing.